Radio 1.
Constellations, a play by Nick Payne, is currently running in the Gay Theatre in Dublin and stars the wonderful Sarah Morris and Breen Gleeson. And they join me now in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon and congratulations.
Thank you. You're very kind.
So where it opened on what night?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. And it's there's just the two of you.
Yeah.
And a couple of chandeliers.
Yeah, a couple.
A good few. Yeah.
A good few chandeliers. And you do brilliantly. And who's best equipped now to explain the play? Because it's a play like no other play.
It's a crazy thing to try and explain, but I'll do my best. It's basically a relationship play. It's a two-hander. Myself and Sarah, that we're on stage. I'll start with that. And
for the whole thing, exactly. All 75 minutes of it.
It's a relationship play. You know, they meet at a barbecue. They get together. They break up. They get together again. They get married. They deal with sickness. So it's the kind of birth and death of a relationship. But there's this kind of crazy theatrical device employed in it, which is that every scene is set in a different universe.
Yes.
So for, you know, those fans of Doctor Strange and the multiverse, you know, if you don't want to see the movie the 10th time, come see the show. No, but so every scene, you know, if you're familiar with Sliding Doors or one of these
yes,
things,
it's about how it spins
off into different possibilities that their lives could have taken. You know,
yes.
So.
Yeah, yeah. You play Marianne, Sarah.
Yes.
And Marianne is a quantum physicist.
Yes.
And you explain to Roland, that's you, Breen.
Yeah.
That there are all these realities.
Yes.
There's an infinite number of realities.
There's the multiverse theory.
The multiverse theory, yeah. So anything can happen.
Yes.
Anything can happen. So it's not predetermined in a way.
No, it's about the choices and decisions that you ultimately make will lead you down whatever path
So you end up, and this is a question I'm going to ask you. I saw it the other night and I really loved it. So you have to do the same scene, say, I think maximum one scene, maybe four times, the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And do you... I think you do, but do you play it differently each time? The bit that you say, the dialogue.
We broke down every scene. Sometimes they're very, very similar, apart from one thing that is different. And that one thing can be a huge thing or it can be very small, but we have to treat it as a big thing. So we wrote down all the scenes on paper on the wall and we said, what is it about this scene that's different than the other scene?
Yeah. So we have to think of them as separate plays entirely, every single scene. So your intention is different every time.
Yes.
Even if it's ever so slightly, but
and
whether...
bringing different backstory to each one. So if they're having a fight at home, there'll be one scene where they're, you know, it's less biting than the next scene where they really go at it. So we have to bring a certain amount of backstory to each scene and go, well, where are they in the relationship that they would have this kind of fight, you know, and things like that.
It's brilliant. And it's laugh out loud and there are teary moments as well. Every emotion. Yeah. And I was just saying to you before we came on that there's a scene between the two E that's signed in Irish Sign Language.
Yes.
Which means there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Three quarter way through the play. And there's silence for about four and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
Like
you can hear that proverbial pin drop. You could.
It's amazing because I think because we speak so much and communicate so much in the play together that when we earn that moment of silence and we're communicating in a different way, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
Obviously you're getting to a more emotional point as well in the story. So to take that ability away is exceptionally moving, I think.
And this is the final question on the process, as you call it. but the fact that it's all of that and all over the place and jiggery pokery, that there isn't this natural sort of story arc, which as actors, theatre actors, would obviously help you remember the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So was it particularly difficult to remember your lines for this?
Yes.
I was. Yes. Yes. No, it was. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yes.
No, but I think the interesting thing was that, like, what Breen brought up in rehearsals is, like, fundamentally the DNA of the characters are the same in every universe. So that can kind of help because you learn about how they speak. Like, for instance, Marianne constantly clarifies with the word. She always says, I mean... Like she keeps going back to, well, I mean this.
Yes.
So there's certain things that you kind of have, I suppose, gathered through the whole play that continue through. But for sure.
I think the important thing as well was breaking it down to where the characters made sense to us. But, and this is something we talk about a lot, and Mark Atkinson, who directed it, that once we'd done that, then it's about really stretching out the kind of emotional bandwidth that we have in the play so that we can take the audience from one extreme to another without it being inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lovely chemistry between you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird in a play about physics. Yeah. Sorry.
When I was doing the Lehman's, our brain just keep it going. You could do physics and chemistry together as one subject. Yeah. There you go. So I'm astounded to find out that you didn't do a chemistry test beforehand. that there was no. You just the first time you met was for a publicity shot.
Yeah, we met on the photo shoot.
Maureen Hughes, who cast it, and Celine, who runs the gate, know us obviously, but Maureen, you've known her for a while as well. So yeah. I think she's just is very smart, and just figured we'd be a good fit. So that's part of what makes a good cast director is just making that alchemy kind of work.
You play the beekeeper, and you're the quantum physicist. But tell us a bit about yourself, Sarah. What's your story?
What's my story? I'm an actress. I'm from Dublin.
I've worked that out.
I suppose I predominantly do theatre. I'm hoping to do more. And it's my first time in the gate, which is really exciting for myself. Actually, and it is yours as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. On stage, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So I
sorry, I was like on Beckett's room where the audio was coming from the stage and I wasn't on stage.
Oh, anyway. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you were just being smart. No. You were there as a customer. No, right. Okay.
But yeah, I trained here in the Lear Academy of Dramatic Art, and I've been kind of working professionally the last, I suppose, 7 or 8 years, which seem to have flown by. Yeah. But yeah, it's exciting. There's exciting things happening in Dublin and in Ireland at the minute. With the arts, so when you get to do a production like this, that's really special, you know, all about connection and humanity. So yeah, I love it. You have to, otherwise you'd be mad.
Yeah, but that buzz, I was trying to get inside your heads there watching it the other night, because there must be a huge buzz, but there's all sorts of emotions going on, because there's fear as well, isn't there? Fear that you're not going to remember the lines.
Yeah.
That people aren't going to like it. Fear that people aren't going to like you.
Oh my God.
It's the truth though. It's true, because like literally our director says it's like jumping off a cliff every night, because we've nothing to hide behind, you know, it's just me and Breen on the stage for the whole time, and like that, people are going to love it or hate it, but we've kind of got to be in it together.
Yes.
And you just have to trust.
And we got a few previews.
I got
an almighty fright the first preview, just in terms of being out there and feeling scared. But you kind of have to make the sacrifice with that stuff, because the level of improvement between each preview is so enormous,
right,
that you can be rehearsing for ages, and it's not, at a certain point you have to get in front of an audience even before it's ready. I think that's kind of
for
it
for sure.
I haven't seen you since Frank of Ireland.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. Good. Loved it. And I said it over and over.
Yeah.
Here.
We're very proud of it. Very, very happy with it.
Yeah. Where can people see it if they haven't seen it? It'd
be on 4OD.
4OD.
It'd be on 4OD online. Yeah. So it's a Channel 4 show or Amazon. Amazon Prime.
It looked like you're great crack making it. So it was you and Donald.
It was Donald and
then Dad in the last.
Dad in the last episode. Yeah. And we co-wrote it with Michael Maloney. Who's just brilliant. I've never laughed as much as being in that room, cooking up all these different ways, all different scenarios Frank could get into. So it was outrageous in lots of different ways. But it was important just to get a good story. And then once we had that, we felt we could really be silly, which we were. I mean, we were.
And are you going to do more stuff?
I think that's a one and done kind of show. It had a good, well, it doesn't have an end. The end is actually in episode 5, but and it goes back to the start.
Yeah.
But the story is complete, and you know, I don't really like shows where.
Will you be doing more stuff together, writing and appearing on the television?
I'd love to. It was a blast. Yeah.
He's not saying anything, is he, Sarah?
If someone wants to let us, you know, make Frank of Ireland movie, please. We only need 10, 20 million max.
So you live London or Dublin? Or?
I live in London, yeah, but I'm back a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it was really special to come back and do this play, especially given the last 2 years with COVID and everything else. We were talking before about how great the audience were in the first night, because they're really happy to be out. Yeah. And theatre is like the oldest traditions in the world, and only in pandemics or plagues or whatever is it actually taken away from you. Even, you know, like even the theatres and the Blitz, you know, World War II were on, all that stuff. So like, it's so rare for this to happen where it's taken away. So
can I ask you a big heavy question, both of you now? It can't be a professional answer, it has to be a personal answer. What did you learn from the pandemic about yourself? Sarah.
I think to not take yourself too seriously. Like, I definitely needed to press pause in many areas of my own life, and it allowed me to do that. And I think everyone was just so shook at the time. But I did learn, if I'm honest, that I love what I do, because when it was taken away from me, I got to really, when I had the opportunity to go back to it, I thrived. And I thought, don't be giving out about this, Sarah. You know, you get to do something that you love.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody, as a musician, you can play your guitar in your room and all that sort of thing. But as an actor, it was a bit odd. Did you do a bit of acting at home on your own?
Oh, Jesus, I didn't. No. But there, you know what? There was a lot of kind of research. A lot of companies got like some outreach, you know, cash, and they were able to develop things. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to have a couple of gigs. And it was just really, really amazing. Yeah, because there's nothing better than getting to act opposite someone, you know?
In front of an audience. Yeah. Established. What about you, Brainy? Yeah, I concur. Is that what you're saying?
Well, someone was saying about, I think to do with writers, that, you know, even though all that time on their own, which is where they usually are, they actually, there was so little output in being able to finish their novel or finish their thing. And it just goes to show that we need stimuli and we need the outside world, even if we're miserable introverts, you know?
Yeah,
and I think family as well. Like, I was in London for briefly and I got to get back at the start of it, and just being near my family was like, sometimes we just forget the simplest thing like that.
Yeah.
Kind of brilliant.
So we appreciate them. So it's Constellations on the Gate Theatre until June 2nd.
Yes.
Are you on tonight now?
We are.
So I'm fascinated by your day then. What do you do? So you finished last night at it's about quarter to, it's early, isn't it?
Like we're out when it's still bright, isn't it?
Yeah. But you're buzzing then.
Well, so the lead up to the show was like, you always go, Jesus, I mean, what a job. Like, you're working for 75 minutes every night, but the 2 or 3 hours before, you're running stuff and you're getting ready.
Yes,
you know,
in your head.
Yeah.
And then the buzz, Sarah, then you're not going home to bed anytime soon.
Well, I like a pint of Guinness. But at the same time, you're running on adrenaline, so you don't realise how tired you are. So you have to be able to go, okay, no, I actually need to. So one pint of Guinness, go home, you're laughing.
You're fine. Okay.
Right. We haven't been going to Coppers.
No.
That's the rap night.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So gaytheatre.ie for tickets. Highly recommended from here. Breen Leeson, thank you very much. Sarah Morris, lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.